welcome to a quick Conversations of Change podcast with Dr. Jen Fram. We have a change chat with one of the leaders in the change management field.
And hello, everybody. Welcome back to this week's change chat. You're here with Dr. Jen from Conversations of Change. I have got a truly amazing guest this week, as only I could say, because this week we're going to interview me about my book. So the time has come and it's, you know, I'm in that point of complete delirium around, oh my goodness, I've got a book to launch. And I thought, well, I need somebody to interview me, and I couldn't think of anybody better than to bring in the rather fabulous Trevor Young, founding partner of the Zoetic Agency. And some of you may know him as the very prolific blogger at PR Warrior. Trevor, welcome to the Change Chat.
Thank you, Dr. Jen. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Excellent. At this point, it's all over to you.
Wow, that was a nice handball, wasn't it? So, you're the guest. I've got to make sure, because I've got a podcast called Reputation Revolution, and I usually ask, what were you doing 10 years ago? I should start with that. Give us a quick, what were you doing 10 years ago?
Oh, Trevor, 2007, I was just in the process of leaving academia. So I had been working as a lecturer in the Department of Management, Faculty of Economics at University of Melbourne, and I had decided that my strengths lay more in the direction of working with people to actually implement change rather than writing about it from an academic perspective and researching it. And so I was just starting my business, Conversations of Change. So that was like 10 years ago. Yeah.
There you go. A lot's happened in 10 years. And I like always asking that question because, you know, today people, aren't they? They're changing careers and moving and morphing, and obviously with technology, you know, changing the way they do things, and obviously you're at the heart of it. And so great to see that it was 10 years ago that you've entered onto this journey. And it's resulted in a book. So you've got this book coming out, Conversations of Change. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about it.
Right. Well, look, I think the book is the piece that I've been wanting to put out there, which really comes from the perspective of a manager who's stuck their hand up to lead change and they don't know which way to go. Through the last 10 years of working with senior management in a coaching capacity, I'm really familiar with the opening question when they come to me. It's something like, I've just said I'm going to lead this change, or I've been told that I have to reduce operational expenses by this much, or I need to create a culture of innovation and I don't know which way to go. And can you help me with the coaching side of it? And so this book really it's a guide to implementing workplace change. It's really pragmatic. It's about stripping back the fluff, reducing the complexity of change management. It can be a very confusing world for the uninitiative. And so taking people through from the very beginning in terms of setting up through to the kind of things that they need to be aware of that are happening in the world of change management that might make a difference on their change.
So the people that you're, who's the sort of the ideal readers? Who are you writing the book for?
Yeah, I've written the book for, I'm going to say, I'm loath to use the word middle management because I think that phrase gets bandied around and is kind of meaningless now. But essentially, it's probably someone who is in a management position and they are accountable for implementing change. So that can be someone who's relatively new into a management position, but it can also be those who are in quite senior executive roles. Interestingly enough, because it wraps up 20 years experience in the field of change management, the early testing of the book showed that there was a secondary audience that was those who were early career practitioners of change, those who wanted to fast track their knowledge and what they should be looking at in change. So whilst the primary audience were our managers looking to implement change, it's also proven to be a book that's appealed to those who are new to change and want to work in that space and understand how broad it is and which way forward.
As an aside, who comes into a change management role? You know, are they people from management necessarily, or, you know, people who become change management practitioners, or are they more from a cost perspective?
Yeah, it's look, and this is covered, I think, in chapter two. Look, I'm not sure which chapter that's in, but you find that people come into a change management role from varied and many different avenues. So they might be in a line manager role and have gone through a lot of change and just think, hey, I want to do this better, therefore I want to be the one who's doing the change management work. But you also find that there are natural entry points from engineering, particularly industrial engineering, from psychology, org psych, from education. So the teachers often find their way into change management roles. From corporate communications, marketing and comms, and even technology. I think the area that we're also seeing a lot of entry into change at the moment is project management. So people who are a little bit disillusioned with the objective side of managing projects and want to look at the subjective side and be more focused on the people experience of change. So it's a really diverse...
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Gosh. And so this... Would it be fair to say that the book is kind of like entry level, like it, as you say, it strips away, makes, you know, it is complex, a lot of variables, obviously, in organisational change. But, you know, at what level will people get something out of this? So it really is more the earlier stuff or people who are wanting to understand it more.
There was a really nice quote from one of my previewers who said, look, it's a must read for the uninitiated to change, but it's a should read for those who just want to do it better. And it's not simple subject matter at all. And this is one of the challenges with a lot of the books on the market around change management, is that they are complex material. It becomes easier for entry level by the way that I've taken the approach of writing it, that I'm, you know, I describe it as I'm like the Jiminy Cricket on the shoulder, you know, coaching you and whispering words of encouragement and just simplifying things as you go so you know what to focus on and what type of conversations to have.
The change whisperer.
Yeah, the change whisperer, yeah.
So you've broken up the book into three parts, and these obviously, you know, sequential and a linear process. So why don't you walk us through them? So the first one is shaping up the decisions you need to make. What's that first part about?
Yeah. So I think this one came out of a lot of conversations with managers around, they know they're about to lead change and they know that there's a whole series of decisions they need to make really early on in the piece if they want to make it easier for them down the track. So that starts off with understanding what the key terms are and the language and the jargon in organisational change. It also talks about who's who in the zoo. So, you know, there's 10 necessary roles in change, and we unpack each of those roles so that you're actually thinking about what type of resources and people are you going to place in particular roles that will make life easier. How you define success from the beginning, because, you know, if we've got some sense of what success looks like, you're going to structure for that. And then whether you actually need a change model or a change framework or a change approach. This book is methodology agnostic. So I come from the position of methodologies are really useful. They're like recipes, but good cooks know when to adapt their recipes based on what their ingredients are. So whereas a lot of the other books out there in the field will stick to one particular methodology or put forward a framework that, you know, is the definitive framework to use. In part one, what we're doing is saying, look, here's half a dozen of the most commonly used change models and where they're fit for purpose and why you might want to consider them or why you might not.
Ah, nice. So a bit more of a skate across the landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
And so part two is about moving forward, and you talk about the five pillars of change success. What are those five pillars?
So for me, and this was really, if I look back at the programs and the projects that I've worked on around where were the indicators of success, they were when we looked at change capability, so how you are actually lifting the capability of everybody around you to be more able to implement change, so that you weren't reliant on a change manager or you weren't reliant on a change consultant. The second one was change readiness. If we're looking at how ready is the organization for change and how do you actually assess that and then intervene based on what the answers are for that. Of course, change resistance. There's a chapter on change resistance, and or what I talk about is the flip side of that, which is stakeholder engagement. Because the more engagement you've got, the less change resistance you have. And that's what successful change looks like. Change communications also takes a bit of a it's a decent chapter, as you would imagine, Trevor, with my background. It's hard for me not to write about comms. And then also change leadership. You simply can't look at success of change without looking at the leaders that you have around you. And so what does good change leadership look like?
And a lot of elements there. So that sounds like the chunky part.
Yep.
The meat. And then part three is all about check and the things that you should be aware of. I'm tipping there's a few things to be aware of.
Yeah, look, why I called that checking the peripherals was once you're actually in full flight in a change program, you can often find there's a lot of things that become quite distracting. And so they might be the latest fads and fashions in change. They might be some of the big debates in change, the myths that are out there. And you're being challenged either by other stakeholders or by your change team to actually, you know, we should use gamification in this, or, you know, have we made sure that we've taken a neuroscience approach to it? And those concepts in of themselves can be really, really distracting if you don't have someone making sense of them, again, to say, look, why would I want to listen to them and pay attention? Or for this particular change that we're doing at the moment, can we put it to one side and not distract ourselves with them? So that's really what part three is about.
And in keeping with the practicality of the book, you've got a lot of sort of further reading people to follow on Twitter and, you know, blogs and things like that. Always really important, I think, for a book like this to enable people who want to go a deeper dive and you know, knowledge is to give them those resources, and they're obviously resources that you recommend, and you've been following these people and looking at these case studies and all that sort of stuff.
Oh, absolutely. I think self-study is so important in the field of change, and social media has just created the biggest opportunities for us in identifying people who are really generous with their stories in terms of what they do and how they do it. And, you know, Twitter and blogs are a great part of that. So, you know, the learning about change shouldn't end with my book.
Now, writing a book is obviously a very solitary thing, but you're a collaborative person. And so how did you go with, you know, balancing the being collaborative and you know, talking with people and, you know, getting insights from people versus one part that you prefer doing? I mean, it's a big undertaking, a book, as you know, and did you have some learnings along the way? Have you changed your thinking as you do it?
Ooh, that's
so as you were writing the book, were things there that you thought, I've improved upon this because you've done more research as a result of writing the book?
It's such an interesting question. I think my process for writing this book was, first of all, to get everything down. Now, in doing that, I learned that I could see straight away that there were parts of the structure that were missing and that I hadn't done much on before. And yes, I had to do a bit you know, a bit more research and thinking about things and say, well, how would I explain this particular concept? So that was good for me to actually think through areas that perhaps I haven't talked about before. But the next step was, you know, you mentioned I like to collaborate, and I do. So the next part was I started publishing the chapters, the interim chapters on LinkedIn as part of my commitment to working out loud. And that was awesome because what it did was it got a lot of people engaged. And whilst people didn't necessarily make their comments public, so many people emailed me with thoughts about things that I'd said or, you know, fact-checked or said, no, I think you've got that wrong and this is what you actually might want to be talking about. So it was really wonderful process for still including a level of collaboration in it. I think the third thing that came to me while writing this book was the empathy piece. For this book to land and to have value, I had to write from a position of empathy for a manager. And because when I had done my research in the market in terms of what are the other books out there and what do they do and all that kind of stuff, I didn't see anything that was written from the perspective of how do I help these managers? What's keeping them awake at night? Where is their pain point? Where is their frustration? And so each chapter, I sort of, as I was writing, I had to stay really true to the empathy piece. And that was a really interesting process in writing that. And I suspect that sharpened my practice and probably made me, you know, a little bit better from the perspective of moving away from expertise back into, you know, empathy with the customer experience, you know, in today's language, but that kind of thing. So I think that helped me with that, Trevor.
Yeah, it's a good true north, isn't it, just to keep bringing you back, because, again, when you're writing, it's, you know, you're going through this is my knowledge and I'm putting it down in a, you know, in a more of a linear way and this is what I've learned. But, you know, to always – but that's like social media and content marketing today, isn't it? It's about taking an audience-first approach and you know, to keep continuing going back, is this relevant to the audience and what are their pain points and their challenges and what inspires them as well, I think. I like the idea about working out loud. I think that's very powerful and I think, you know, by putting your chapters out there, it's just a great way of also building interest as well and it makes it a less of a solitary thing. I like that as a concept, and a lot of people will say, why are you giving away all your IP? But you're building an audience for the book before you launch the book, which I think is a really smart way to market. But so it sort of ticks a few boxes there, and you know, we're obviously friends on Facebook, and even the cover, getting the cover done and getting people to vote on the cover and things like that. I think that collaborative approach to writing a book is makes it all the richer for it. The experience for you, but also the end result.
Yeah, look, I think so. I am super conscious, and I said this in my acknowledgements in the book, that, you know, if I was to thank every person who had really helped and contributed in the creation of this book, you know, it'd probably be twice the price because I'd need, you know, twice as many pages. We're increasing the page count. But I've been incredibly blessed with the community that I've got around me professionally and personally, and how much they have contributed to both the thinking and the reviewing and the shaping of the book. Yeah, that's been really cool.
Excellent, excellent. Well, where will people be able to get the book? When's it being launched?
It's being formally launched next Wednesday, the 26th of July. At the moment, if people want a signed copy of the book, then they can go to my website, so conversationsofchange.com.au/book. If they're not so fussed on one of my beautiful cursive signatures, then it should be on, by the time you hear this recording, this podcast, you'll find it on Amazon. It's currently available on Kindle as well for download. So that's where I'm starting with at the moment.
Excellent, and good luck with it.
Thank you very much, Trevor. Appreciate you interviewing me on my Change Chat.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity.
If you enjoyed this Change Chat, then do share with your colleagues and friends. You can find more at conversationsofchange.com.au, at Jen Fram on Twitter, or Conversations of Change on the Facebook.